Father, bless these words to our hearts and give us a portion from your throne. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Acts 13. And then we're also going to turn to 1 Samuel 13. So you can put your finger in 1 Samuel. And then we'll take a look at Acts. In verse 21, the Word of God says, "And after they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years." So he reigned for 40 years. "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom he also gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." A man after God's heart. God was looking for a man who was after His heart. God is still looking for a man who is after His heart. A man who will fulfill all of God's will. Now, how do I fulfill all of God's will? I can only fulfill it by an operation of faith. I can only fulfill it by a faith response and faith rest. If I don't have faith rest, I'll become anxious and I won't be able to respond in faith to God through faith obedience. So I cannot fulfill the will of God apart from faith. There's no way to do it, because Hebrews 11:6, without it, it's impossible to please Him. So there's no way to really have a heart that is from God, a heart that is after God's own heart, apart from faith. Now that word "after" is the key word here. A man after God's own heart. After, kata. A man down from. Literally the word means down from, coming from God's own heart. We always think of it as a man who desires God's heart, but that's not what it's saying. It's a man who came from God's heart. God sends men from His heart. The pastor is supposed to be a man, in Jeremiah, from God's heart. He is not supposed to be a man from his own heart, from his own will. He is supposed to be a man from God's heart. So how do I become a man from God's heart? Because this is what God is looking for. God is not looking for a perfect man. God is not looking for a smart man. God is not looking for an intelligent man. God is not looking for a strong man. God is looking for a man from His own heart. Now let's take a look at 1 Samuel 13. And in verse 11, the Word of God says, "And Samuel said, What have you done?" This is after Samuel told Saul, "Wait here for me. We're going to offer up an offering. Wait here for me. I'll be here. We'll take on the Philistines after we offer up an offering. But wait here for me." Because it was the prophet who was to give the offering, who offered the offering before God, not the king, the prophet. And so Saul waited, and it seemed by sight that Samuel wasn't coming. Samuel said, "I'll be there in 7 days," and he didn't show. So it seemed by sight Samuel wasn't coming, and so the king goes and he offers up the offering because he's getting intimidated, because by sight the Philistines are gathering against him. He's getting a little bit nervous that the man of God, and really talking about God here, is not going to come through for him. And so he decides to take it on by himself. Take it on through a natural effort and a natural endeavor. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, because I saw this and I saw that, and that the Philistine gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore," said I, "the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal." But that's not the definition that was given from God. "Therefore," said I, "the Philistines will come upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord." And so I forced myself, therefore. No, he didn't force himself. He was scared, and so he went ahead and did it because he didn't trust the man of God, and he didn't trust God in the man of God who was leading the man of God. He didn't trust. That was his problem. He didn't trust. And so I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which He commanded you. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded you." In other words, you didn't trust God. And because you didn't trust God, the kingdom that was promised you is going to be taken away from you. Because it was promised that if you trust God, and I'm paraphrasing, if you trust God and you do that which He commands you, your seed will remain on the throne forever. This way, the kingdom will be taken away from you. Now, what does this mean? Does this mean that because Saul made a mistake, he's going to lose the kingdom? No. It does not mean that. It means that Saul hardened his heart to the point where he would not yield to God any further. That's what it means. You see, it's not in my perfection that determines whether I am a man after God's own heart. Perfection has nothing to do with it. It's whether I am willing to trust God, and whether I am able to be corrected, and whether my heart is after God and right before Him. This is what determines whether I am a man after God's own heart. It's not that I never fail. It's that I fail and get up again. Saul had the opportunity to correct things. How could he have corrected? He could have said, "You're right, Samuel, I have sinned." And what would have been the result of, "You're right, Samuel, I have sinned"? The result would have been, just like David and Nathan told him, "God has forgiven you." But he wasn't willing to do that. He was living in pride, and when the mistake was identified, he reinforced the mistake. He made excuses for the mistake. He didn't say, "Samuel, I made a mistake." He made excuses for the mistake. "Well, Samuel, you have to understand and be reasonable here. I had all this sight to deal with. And I didn't trust God, so I was afraid because I had all this sight and I was afraid of the sight. And this is why I did it. Isn't that reasonable? And after all, I honored God and I forced myself to do it. I honored God because I gave the offering. Because after all, I can't go to battle without a burnt offering." Now, he wasn't not only not to go to battle without a burnt offering, he wasn't to do anything without the prophet coming and giving the offering as God had said. God told Saul through Samuel, "This is what's going to happen. This is how you're going to do it." Saul ignored him because of sight. And then God says, "I'm looking for a man after my own heart. I'm looking for a man that came from my heart. How do I come from God's heart? I trust Him. I trust Him. And then I come from His heart with His heart. I don't trust sight. I don't trust fear. I don't trust emotions. I don't trust insecurity. I trust God. And if God has said something, I trust Him even though sight may be coming against me. Because when sight comes against me and I'm not trusting God, I'm going to start taking things in my own hands and doing things that make sense to me according to my sight. about whatsoever is sight is not of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so I simply trust God and I rest in the faith rest towards God's faithfulness. And that's where I make my bed. In God's faithfulness. That's where I relax. That's where I say, okay, everything's okay. God has given His Word. Everything is okay. But the Philistines are lining up. The people are leaving you. There's all kinds of things happening. Everything's okay. God has given His Word. It's all okay. God has given His Word. It'll be perfectly fine. God has given His Word. But we believers need to learn how to do this. Because it's not a natural thing on our part to do. Faith is not natural. Faith is supernatural. That's why it's the Word that produces faith in us in Romans 10. Because it's supernatural. And so I live a supernatural life through a supernatural faith because I'm responding to a supernatural God. Saul, on the other hand, lived a very natural life. And the kingdom was taken away from him. It's not the mistake. It's the lack of trust. It's not the mistake. It's the lack of trust. That's what separates. And 2 Samuel 18:1, and David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. David numbered the people. This was not what David was to do. God specifically said, do not number Israel. Why? Because by numbering Israel, David was looking for a sight provision. How strong am I in my natural ability? How many soldiers do I have? How many captains? How many horses? How many weapons? What do I have that is natural with which I can now fight a battle? God said, do not do that. Do you know why? Because you have nothing that is natural with which to fight your battle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual and mighty to the tearing down of strongholds. The natural weapon is not mighty at all. Jericho relied on a natural weapon and their walls tumbled to the ground just because Israel walked around a few times and blew a trumpet. So much for their natural weapon. But trusting God in all of my circumstances, for all of my things, for all of my life, for all of my ways, that's how I approach things. So that when He says, I don't say, can I do it? The answer is, no, you can't. But then again, you weren't asked to. The answer is, God will do it. It's up to God to do and to will all His good pleasure. So I don't look at my natural ability, my natural provisions, my natural anything. I look to the author and finisher of my faith who has called me and will also do it. And that's how I live as a man from the heart of God. Because then I'm constantly responding to Him and constantly sending through me that which came from Him toward you. And now I am a man from the heart of God. And in chapter 24 of 2 Samuel in verse 10, and David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech you, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer. That means like a pastor type prophet. David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that it may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in the land? Now advise, and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. I'm in trouble. So he said, I'm in trouble. I'm in great trouble. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for His mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. David didn't choose the penalty. He never answered the prophet according to what he said. He said, let me fall into the hands of God. Let me fall into the hands of God. Because He will be merciful to me. Why did David confessed his sin. Why was there still a penalty? Because David had too much in him that relied on the natural. David had too much in him that depended on his own abilities and on the abilities of Israel's army. David had too much in him that depended on natural provisions to overcome difficult circumstances. And so God said, okay, David, we're going to deal with this. I'm going to put you in a position where you have nothing to go with but me. Take your pick. How do you want to do it? And David said, let me fall into the hands of God because He is merciful. And so God said, fine, I'll send the pestilence. And the pestilence did not go all the way. After a while, God said, that's enough. Because He was merciful. Because David finally learned that to fall into the hands of God is far better than to pick up a natural provision. To fall into faith with no sight is much better than to try to figure out your circumstances by sight. Because we have no sight. We can't see 30 seconds from now. We have no sight. So I trust God. So I trust God. David was not a perfect man by any means. He made mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. But he knew the heart of God. And because he knew the heart of God, he had what it took to trust God and to learn how to trust God in difficult circumstances, not just in simple ones. He no longer depended on his experiences to trust God. He depended on God's Word to trust God, on God's character to trust God, on God's faithfulness to trust God, on God's promises to trust God, on prayer to trust God, on turning to God to trust God. He didn't depend on anything natural. And so he became a man after God's own heart. On the other hand, Saul, in 1 Samuel 15:2, the Word of God says, thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did unto Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up out of Egypt. God didn't forget when somebody went against his people. God didn't forget it at all. God bided his time, but he did not forget. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Amalek is talking about the flesh in typology, the old sin nature, the natural man. Slay everything, every provision, everything that seems right about the natural man, slay it. Bring it to the cross, slay it. And in verse 14, and Samuel said, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep? Because Saul would not obey. Saul spared what he thought was worthwhile. People spare what they think is worthwhile of the flesh, of the old sin nature, of the natural man and the natural ability. Oh, this is a good thing at this good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that kills. This is a good thing, and so I will spare it. I will not take this to the cross after it's a good character in my life. It's a good thing about me. Slay it. That's what he said, slay it. And Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the ox which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. They have brought them. No, they didn't do anything. Saul brought them. They didn't do anything. But blame game. Here we go again. The unwilling heart to turn. The unwilling heart to trust God. The unwilling heart to respond to God. They brought him. I didn't do anything wrong. They brought him. It was their fault. I didn't do anything wrong. They brought them down from the Amalekites, where the people did it. Spared the best of the sheep, of the oxen, to sacrifice unto the Lord. You see, the people did it, and it was a good religious reason. Good side of the tree. Good side of the tree. To sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said to him, say on. And Samuel said, when you were little in your own sight, were you not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel? And the Lord sent you on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I have brought Agag, the king of the Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. That's not what God said. This is what happens when we spare an element of our flesh and call it good. We twist the word of God. And we say, I did exactly what God said. But he didn't. Oh, it was them that made me do it. No, it wasn't. Blaming, twisting, anything but the cross. Anything but the cross. This is why Saul lost the kingdom. And this is why David was a man after God's own heart. David embraced the cross. And in the embrace of the cross, he trusted God. It wasn't that he made no mistakes. It wasn't his perfection. It's that he trusted God. And in verse 22 of 1 Samuel 15, in closing, and Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Does God really delight in all the good little things you do as much as he does in simply having faith, trust, obedience? Faith rest, faith obedience. Does God delight in all your performance near as much as he does simply that you trust him? And because you trust him, you respond to him? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken better than the fat of rams. Faith rest with faith obedience is better than everything I can do put together that's religious. But simply trusting him. It doesn't matter that it looks impossible, and it doesn't matter that it looks good. I take the flesh to the cross, and then I'm able to trust him. Without the cross, I can't trust him. It's not possible. there always will be an element of self-preservation, and self-preservation is contrary to faith in God. Because self-preservation will insist on sight. But if I have the cross in my life, trusting Him is the easiest thing in the world. Because there's none of me left to oppose what God has said. And this is how I become a man after God's heart. It's not that I don't fail. And everybody after that was compared to, of all people, David. All the kings of Israel were compared to David. Because David was a man from the heart of God. Because he trusted Him. In 1 Kings 11:4, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart, away his heart after other gods. So the natural thing that he lusted for turned his way away unto other gods." Away from his own God. Unto other gods. And get this next part. "And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." The cross frees faith. The cross frees faith. When there's a cross in my life, then I experience the life of faith. And it's the life, the man, that came from the heart of God. That's what resurrection life is all about. It's being the man that came from the heart of God. Amen?